the love of prosperity, not again. Excuse me.
Shit.
Pardon me.
My toes.
Sorry. Pardon.
Oh.
My.
Sorry, I'm taken.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry to keep you waiting, gentlefolk. We did leave in the middle of an attempted possession. How do I explain this? Well, there's a ghost in the gully. And when last we spoke, we left Dioti and Lydia in awful danger. We need to find out what happens to them right now. So, listener, the time has come to roll and tell.
As this carriage and Skychaser are moving swiftly through the forest once again, trying to get away from those shaking trees, everybody's on high alert. But Lydia, you feel the forest around you fading to black. Everything around you goes quiet. You can feel your brother in front of you, but you can't see him. Instead, you see something far worse. You see Lady Soline's face moving closer to you. You see bricks lining walls around you. Your hands are tied. Your mouth is sewn shut. And Soline walks close to you, smiling awfully. And Dioti, as he's riding in this carriage, he's looking around, waiting to see if anything happens. He hears the trees shaking behind. But then he looks back over to Thebia to see what she's thinking. And the world around Dioti starts to fade to black. But he can still see Thebia. And Thebia, as she turns towards Dioti, her eyes are blank, empty black sockets, and her head rolls over, falls on the ground.
And suddenly, it's like he's not sitting in the carriage anymore, because his head rolls off of her shoulders to the ground, bounces across black earth with a gross thud, till it stops at the feet of something. This figure kneels to the ground, picks up the head, and looks at Dioti. It's being lit by luminous, smoky hair. Dioti can just see their purple-skinned face smiling at them.
And Lydia and Dioti both hear a distant, disconnected voice. And Lydia, as you see Lady Soline approaching you slowly with the click clacks of her shoes, you see her mouth is bloody and her fingers have knives ready to do something awful to you.
Lydia sees this horrible image approaching her and every fiber in her wants to shout, wants to scream, wants to fight back, but her hands can't move. Her mouth can't open. She is truly and utterly trapped.
And you hear, Lydia, the voice again.
Let me in, and I can make it stop.
Ooh, Christian, that's an offer, huh?
Yeah. It's trying to persuade.
Yeah, it's not just a forceful interaction. Lydia surely would want this to stop. So I guess the question I have is this a defy danger wisdom or constitution? I have to believe that in her heart, Lydia knows this can't be real. She knows it can't be real. So she's going to keep telling herself that. And she's going to try to power through this with mental fortitude.
Then I guess that would be a defy danger wisdom.
Man, this is getting me far more emotional than I thought it was going to. That's a 7. That was very close to a failure.
Oh, jeez.
But it's a semi-success. There is one thing in this image that is not sealed, and it's her eyes. So Lydia closes her eyes. In her head, she starts repeating to herself, "It's not real. It's 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 not real." And she keeps repeating it over and over. And when she opens her eyes, the images are gone. She's back on Sky Chaser, behind her brother. But something doesn't feel right. Lurking in her mind's eye is this terrible image of Celine. And it's just there, like an impression on her brain. She can't shake it. For the time being, Lydia is going to take the confused ailment and receive a ongoing -1 to wisdom.
Dang.
The things she saw, she can't unsee. Teodi, you are standing in front of maybe the last thing you want to see. The creature that murdered your parents. And the fairy is holding Lady Thebia's head in their hands. And the smoke that makes up their hair is starting to creep down their shoulders, past their arms, and wriggle across the ground, coming to you, creeping up your body, trying to make its way into your nostrils, your ears, through your tear ducts. And you hear the fairy say,
"Yodi, I'm coming to get you."
And Diodi falls to the ground on his backside, starts trying to scramble away when he hears a voice that says,
"Let me in.
I can make it stop."
Frightened at everything he's seeing and hearing, his brain is an overload, which is surprising for someone who reads the minds of many and has seen what's inside the sorceress's mind. This is a stimulation overload that is caused by fear. Diodi simply just tries to run. He tries to run away out of whatever he's seeing. And I think this might be just a wisdom thing as well, trying to escape whatever this thought is. Okay, hang on. What's my whiz? Okay. Dude, no joke, I rolled a 7 as well, only because of my wisdom modifier. Because I had rolled a 4, and then I get a +3. Diodi, as he's running and running, he's in his own mind. He's sprinting away from this thought, but while he's in his own head. And he is trying to get out of there, and as he feels like he's getting further away from these images and this voice, he starts to regain composure. He starts thinking. He starts trying to work his way out of his own brain. And in this moment, he sees a light opening in front of his eyes. But at the same time, he finds himself charging straight out of the carriage door and falling onto the ground outside of the carriage while it's in motion. And the carriage, the rear wheel, rolls over his leg.
Oh my god.
How much damage do you think you should take?
Christian, judging by the rules of Dungeon World, the suggestion on if you are dealt damage by other sources, it's between one of two things. And I have to ask you which one you feel is more appropriate.
Okay.
You said it's over the leg, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I do think it's the first one, which is it might break some bones. I think might is generous. This would definitely break somebody's bones. But the second one is it could kill a common person. But since it's just over your leg...
Yeah. This wouldn't kill me.
All right, it's a D8. Okay, I only rolled a 3.
Okay, nice.
Good thing I rolled.
Yeah, good thing you rolled. I for sure would have rolled like a 7. Okay, well then, cool. I don't think this necessarily causes, any sort of disability in this moment.
Well, I mean, like you described a carriage driving over his leg. I think you need to give him something that it's gonna break this guy's leg.
You never know. You know, sometimes people, you know, you see them getting car wrecks and stuff and they just walk out just fine, you know?
That's because they roll over the top of the car, not under it.
Well, still, hey.
The fate chart. We'll decide.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to go ahead and ask, Daddy Fate what they think of this situation. Okay. Did Diodi How do you want to word this?
I guess we could ask, does this cause a temporary disability?
I'll let you choose your own odds on whether or not you break a bone.
All right. I think it's no way. No, I'm just kidding. So we're at a chaos 8, and I think the odds are, because I stand a little bit firm when I'm like, dude, the I know they're not humans, but when I say the human body, they have some resilience. So I will say, I'll say it's likely, but I don't think it's any higher than likely.
You think it's likely?
Yeah.
I also just want to acknowledge for the audience that the average carriage weighs 2,000 pounds, and Christian is suggesting if that ran over, you're resilient enough to deal with that.
But hey, when you think about it, listen, my logic is it's in motion. It's not, you know, it's not staying there. Sometimes things in motion just go over bumps easier and quicker. And, and plus it's dirt underneath. So who knows? Could have just, I don't know. I'm just saying. But I will also say he only took 3 damage, which indicates that it's not like a humongous injury.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's not how damage is worded. Oh my. So I am sorry to tell you that it is a yes.
Okay.
But I rolled a 94.
Oh, so that was almost a no.
It was almost
Dang.
A no.
Okay.
Which is very funny.
Wow. All right. So
yeah, I think, but we're only going to give you the weak debility. I think that's the one that makes sense.
Okay.
Which should have almost no bearing on Diodi's abilities.
Yeah, pretty much. He almost never uses strength.
Describe this carriage going, because I know it'll be good audio and our audience wants to hear it very badly. Would you describe a carriage driving over Diodi's leg?
Yeah. Okay. Diodi finds himself tumbling out of the carriage door onto the ground and with a hard thud. But then an instant after he hits the ground, he feels one of the carriage wheels roll over his leg, and there is a snap. And before he can even realize what happened, he feels a warmth in his leg rushing up into his body. And he's lying there with his face into the ground as he sees the carriage going forward and away, and Luid's horse continuing on. And he lets out a shrill scream. And he yells out, "Abigail, Luid, stop, come back." And Thebia, sticking her head out the same door that Diodi just flew out of, she looks around and sees Diodi on the ground behind them. And she yells up to Abigail and Luid, "Stop! Stop the carriage! Stop your horse! Diodi fell out!" Abigail whips her reins back to stop the horses from running.
Luid hears this, and he's about to pull on the reins of Sky Chaser to make Sky Chaser stop. But Lydia starts yammering behind him, saying, "No, no, no, don't stop, Luid, don't stop. She's after me, don't stop, you can't stop. You need to keep going, Luid, keep going." And through Lydia's eyes, she sees the gully that they're in whizzing by as Luid is charging forward on Sky Chaser. But between the trees, she keeps seeing images. Something chasing her. Someone after her. Sometimes they look like Celine, sometimes they look like something else altogether. And Luid hears the concern in his sister's voice. And this is what's going to happen. Because he gets the drop on some kind of danger here, Christian. That is something we determined. He slows Sky Chaser, but he doesn't stop yet. "Lydia, what are you seeing?" And Lydia looks around. She sometimes sees these images of Celine, as I described, but sometimes she sees this figure. Slender, bronze-skinned, and it looks like a ghost.
"Luid, I see something. It's like a thin figure. I can see through them, and they're after me. They are after me, Luid."
Luid is starting to put together what might be happening here, and I want Luid to do a discern realities.
Okay.
That is an 11. That is an
11.
Nice. I get so many questions. A reminder of what these questions are. What happened here recently? What is about to happen? What should I be on the lookout for? What here is useful or valuable to me? Who's really in control here? What here is not what it appears to be? I am obviously going to ask that last question first.
Yeah.
Because we know the answer. There is nothing alive here.
There's only ghost. You are looking around, and even while your horse is in motion, you feel a calmness to this forest. The trees have stopped shaking, almost as if whatever was shaking them focused their energy into Lydia. And you look around, you see nothing. You see nothing of what Lydia is talking about. There is nothing here, and that clicks in your brain. If there's nothing that you can see here, what is here is something that you cannot see.
What happened here recently?
Dude, yeah.
You want a subject and action that?
Oh, we have to. We have to, absolutely. Do you want action? Do you want subject?
I'm feeling action-packed.
Okay, cool. Mr. Action, let's get the subject.
Abandon.
A project.
Oh, so recently there was some kind of project here that has been abandoned.
I almost feel like we should subject action again for what that project was.
Let's do it.
And let's do a
switcheroony,
yeah. All right, transform.
Tactics.
Transform tactics. I feel like there was a group of people out here in search of maybe some source of fuel or a resource that their own city or town didn't have or they were lacking in. So they came to this forest to pull those resources. This is the project. They were trying to, I don't know, drill or cut down the trees or something.
Deforestation.
Basically. Yeah. And something in this forest wasn't having it. And they had to abandon this project.
It might even be why the river dried up.
Yeah. And I think this ghost, kind of like we were curious about before, is the byproduct of the unhappy state that something in this forest, whether it's an entity or whatever, this was the cause of it.
Yeah. Luid is frantically searching for any sign that what Lydia is seeing might be real, but instead he sees something unusual. Equipment. It's a little grown over, like the forest has started to reclaim it. But he sees pickaxes covered in flowers. Mining equipment covered in moss. It's all along the embankment, where clearly there was once a river. And he sees damage to the earth from feet, carriage tracks, carts. Someone was doing work in this forest, but they're gone, and their equipment is being reclaimed by nature. Final question, what should I be on the lookout for? Or what is useful or valuable to me?
That's a great question.
Subject action.
Yes.
I'll go action.
Okay.
Judge.
Plans. Maybe this ghost has a way of projecting what they're about to do. Maybe it's that the ghost, as he's trying to take over someone's brain, like he was trying to do with Lydia and Diodi, and possess them, maybe there's a sign of that. And if we're able to see it about to happen, maybe there's a way to avoid it.
Luid's eyes dart away from the equipment and back around him, and he still hears Lydia panicking, but he stops the horse. Lydia just starts pounding on his back, and it hurts. She's scared. Luid gets off of Skychaser, and Lydia is just going on and on. Luid, you can't stop. You cannot stop. Please get on the horse. We need to go. But Luid looks up at his sister. He sees the wind blowing through her hair, and he looks closer at her. He sees something in her eyes, a reflection. He can't quite make it out, but there's something there, as if he can see in her eyes what she's seeing. Lydia, look at me. Look into my eyes. Lydia, look at me. Lydia looks into Luid's eyes.
Okay, I'm doing it. What am I looking for? Luid, we gotta...
Lydia. Just keep looking in my eyes. I need you to trust me. Get off of Skychaser. Lydia is heaving, just fear overtaking her body, confusion running through her brain. She doesn't want to get off of Skychaser, but she trusts her brother. So she gets off the horse and stands uncomfortably on the ground. Luid is looking in Lydia's eyes. There's nothing there at the moment. And so Luid starts walking a circle around his sister, and Lydia nervously follows him with her head until her head is craned over her shoulder, looking at her brother, and Luid can see a slender hand on her shoulder, but only reflected in her eyes.
Lydia, is there a hand on your shoulder?
Lydia nervously nods her head, and then quickly and suddenly, Luid draws his sword and swings at its wrist. I am proving that it's not real.
And Lydia, you see Luid pull out his sword, and as if he's about to strike you with it, it just grazes past your back, going through this arm, this wrist, of whatever it is that's holding your shoulder, and it remains there. It stays there. The sword went right through it. You realize, whatever it is, it's not physical. I don't know if that makes you even more nervous or not.
I think it makes her more confused, but she looks at her brother, and Luid says,
whatever is tormenting you is something unnatural, but it's just playing tricks on your mind.
Abigail slammed the horses to a stop as she turned around and saw Diodi lying there on the ground as well after Thebia had shouted out. She notices that Luid kept going. She sees his horse with Lydia on the back moving forward, and she's about to shout out at Luid to stop when only a moment later, Luid does, and she sees him getting off his horse. So she jumps off the bench and she runs over to Diodi, and Diodi lying there on the ground, whimpering in pain. He points to his leg and he says,
I fell out and the carriage rolled over my leg. Well, Diodi, do you know if you can get up and walk back to the carriage?
And Diodi just looks at her with tears swelling in his eyes.
I don't know. It hurts so badly.
And he starts pushing himself up with his hands, but he can feel the pain radiating in his leg. And Thebia runs over.
Okay, Abigail, let's help Diodi up and get him back to the carriage. Diodi, put your arms over our shoulders.
And they both lean down and start trying to pick him up, wrapping his arms around their necks. And they pull him up slowly as he limps back to the carriage.
I don't know what happened. Everything went black, and Thebia, your head fell off, and Abigail, I saw the fairy again, and it looked at me, and something was yelling at me to let it in, and I was so afraid, I tried to run, and then this happened. I have no clue what's going on. I'm really frightened right now. After I saw that hand run down Thebia's spine, there's something here that I'm not sure we are able to take on.
So this feels like a perfect time, given that we're in a forest, to play into one of Diodi's new moves. So before we explain what it is, let's just do it, and then you can explain what it is. So I'm going to roll for a random animal from Maze Rats. When you say that, you hear something from above you. Something weird. A voice you haven't heard before. It just says,
Get out. Get out.
And Diodi is confused. Where's that voice coming from? And he looks around. He looks to where he heard the voice, or where he thinks he heard the voice.
And Diodi, you see there is an owl perched on a branch above you. And despite it being daylight, it is wide awake. And it is staring at you. And then you hear the voice repeat,
run, run, leave, leave.
This is a utilization of one of Diodi's most recent moves called Wild Empathy. He received this the last time he leveled up. He can speak with and understand animals. As Diodi looks up, staring at this owl, as Thebia and Abigail are pulling him towards the carriage, he also sees the top of the canopy darkening. Clouds are beginning to cover the trees and the forest. The air becomes colder, and he can smell the rain. And he gets back to the carriage. They sit him down inside, and Diodi says, we need to get through this forest right now, as quickly as possible. Abigail, I don't know what path you've taken us down, but this is not okay. I'm curious, because Abigail, she has been in many, many places. She traveled for months, like from when she left the Ring of the Hand until she met Luid, pretty much. We discussed that was probably about 6-ish months, and we don't know her pathing or every place that she's been, but it would be cool if I could spout lore, maybe?
Absolutely.
She might know something about this forest that we don't.
Yeah.
Abigail, she wants to tell Diodi more about this forest, so she's going to attempt to spout lore, which is 2d6 plus intelligence modifier. Oh, for fuck's sake, dude. I gotta roll a good number now. Oh, no way, dude. I rolled a 1, and then I was like, dude, I gotta roll a 6. I rolled a 6. The GM will tell you something interesting. It's on you to make it useful. So that's not the best outcome, but at least we will get a little bit more information.
Well, I think I've got a great thing for us to talk about what's interesting. The reason why Abigail took this path and why she thought they might be okay is she knew there was some kind of foresting project being done here.
So she thought the forest wouldn't be here in this capacity.
She thought it wouldn't be dangerous. She thought there would be lumberjacks, miners, like people, like this place would maybe even be a lumber yard.
Exactly. Yeah. Abigail looks at Diodi, looks him in the eyes and says, I honestly didn't think this forest would still be here to this capacity, but I was wrong.
And then, Diodi, as if it can understand Abigail, you hear the owl speak again.
You should not be here. You do not belong here. Run, flee, leave.
And Diodi just shouts out to the owl, why? Why shouldn't we be here? What is there to be afraid of? Please, tell us.
And Lady Thebia looks at Diodi and then follows his eyeline and sees an owl sitting on a branch and then looks back at Abigail.
And Abigail's looking at Thebia, and Abigail had followed Thebia's line of sight as well. And she starts pushing Diodi into the carriage and saying, okay, little buddy, we're going now. Get in the carriage.
And Diodi, I think as you're being pushed in, you do hear the owl deliver one final warning.
Your kind is not welcomed here. Your kind is dangerous. Leave before the forest takes you.
And Diodi doesn't respond. He just sits there to himself thinking about that, hoping that Abigail gets on that bench and moves quicker. And Abigail does move towards the bench, and Thebia follows her. She hops up on the bench with Abigail. Diodi's left in the rear carriage by himself. Abigail, the reins in hand, she pushes forward a little bit with the carriage and the horses, meets up with Lydia and Luid until they're side by side.
As you pull up, Luid and Lydia are currently climbing back into the saddle of Skychaser. Luid side eyes towards the carriage as it arrives, and Abigail, you see deep concern in Luid's blue eyes.
And Abigail knows Luid has something to share, and she speaks softly. Luid, what is it? Tell me what you know.
Abigail, there is something here. Something that we cannot see, and something that we cannot touch.
That's exactly what Diodi keeps saying as well. It feels like he's gone out of his mind.
No. He's right. Lydia experienced seemingly the same thing. I know what I saw. I saw a person. There's something here, Abigail. And it means to harm us.
If Diodi's not as crazy as you're saying, then we should probably follow his advice and get out of this forest as quickly as possible.
Yes, we should. And Luid mounts his horse. Lydia, already sitting in the back, she is shaking. She doesn't know what's real and what's not, but she has taken solace in her brother's words. And as Luid cracks the reins of Skychaser and urges the horse forward, he turns and hears the dreadful hooting of an owl growing louder and louder.
First and foremost, chaos goes up.
Yeah, so we're at a 9?
Yes, we are at a 9.
All right, so it seems to me like we are not just dealing with a ghost.
Yeah.
The forest has its own agenda.
Right.
And may be responsible for killing the ghost.
Yeah.
Well, it's whatever it was before it became a spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think it's still as simple as just getting out. I don't think if we simply hurry up, we'll be able to leave necessarily.
Yeah. So for the benefit of the audience, we don't need to do another perilous journey roll because we are still currently in that location, but we are taking a step further into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to roll for a new part of the forest. So Christian, would you roll a D100?
Oh yeah, I thought you would have wanted to since I rolled a large wooded gully last time.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, go ahead.
A rocky outcrop.
Oh, this is going to be difficult for the carriage to get through. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I think we need to take that into account.
Shit.
We don't know what's going to happen at this rocky outcrop. We do know that we're under threat. So I think we should roll subject and action to help lead us towards what the scene creation is.
Okay, cool. I'm getting action.
Take it.
Oh my gosh. Fight.
Joy. Fight joy can be something that like is it's about our struggle. I think that's part of it. Like pulling through. But something's fighting our joy as well. This rocky outcropping is not natural. Maybe the forest has done it. The forest is trying to prevent us from moving. Like we're heading towards something it doesn't want us to go to. I think the scene is this. The party comes across a rocky outcropping, nearly a sheer rock wall, that is preventing them from moving forward, and they need to find a way around it or over it.
While still being pursued by the ghost.
And so now we turn to chaos to see if it will interrupt it or alter it, because there's only one number that will make it that it doesn't.
Yeah.
I rolled an alter.
What if? Almost as if instead of the forest wanting us to turn around, because we've delved deeper, it creates the rocky outcrop from behind us after we pass over and prevents us from turning around.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We're dealing with murder forest.
Yeah. This forest this is now murder forest. Out to get us.
It kills people.
Yeah.
It wants them dead. The party moves forward in a slow, steady, cautious pace. Not too fast, not too slow. And they're alert, watching every tree, looking at the underbrush. We just hear the soft hooffalls of the horses and the rickety wheels of the carriage moving through dirt. The way ahead is clear. They can see the path continuing on into the forest. And then, Diodi, you hear a drop of rain strike the roof of the carriage above you. And then another. And then more and more till you hear the pitter-patter of rainfall. Outside, Abigail, Luid, and Lydia, we all feel this rain start to beat on us, growing heavier and heavier. Luid looks up at the dark sky, the rain hitting leaves and striking against his face. He looks down and he sees Sky Chaser's feet starting to push into the earth as dirt becomes mud. Luid calls to Abigail. Abigail, be careful. The carriage might get stuck at this rate.
Abigail, still looking sternly ahead, squinting her eyes now that rain is starting to hit her forehead, she says,
"Then let's pick up the pace."
And as she says that, she feels the earth shake ever so slightly beneath her. The horses stop.
She's looking around to see what's happening. She feels the ground moving so strongly that it feels like it's going to tear the carriage apart, almost. And she starts yelling, "Shit! Shit! Luid! We need to move forward! Go! 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 Go!" And she whips the horses to go quicker.
And Luid looks at the ground in disbelief. He sees the earth, like clay, start to re-sculpt itself, mold into a different shape, as if a hand from underneath it was pushing up. What in the name of prosperity is going on here? And he pulls Sky Chaser and urges it forward.
And as they move forward, as the ground is rising up, shifting into new shapes and figures, rocks begin to tower over from behind. And as Abigail tries to maneuver the carriage forward and around these rocks that are arising, she attempts to go one direction, but then rocks come up from that direction. And she attempts to turn in another way, and rocks come up from that way, almost as if the forest is guiding them.
I'm curious, is D.O.D. just sitting there? Is he looking out the windows or anything?
Yeah, with the ruckus of the carriage moving in all kinds of directions, getting jostled around by the rocks that are coming up from the ground. I mean, he's getting tossed around in the back, and he's hitting the sides of the carriage, and it is painful because of his leg, but there's not really much to hold on to.
And D.O.D., as you are tumbling around in this carriage, you can't help but notice something. Something is hovering right next to the carriage, right by the window.
And D.O.D., grabbing onto anything to steady himself and keep himself from being jolted around, he hangs onto the carriage door, the open window, and holds himself as steady as possible as he looks at whatever this is.
D.O.D., you see that same owl just hovering right next to the carriage, flapping its wings, but in a manner that it seems like the rain is not disturbing it. It is staring at you, its head turned, like someone who has turned a toy's head too far. Its yellow eyes are staring directly into yours, and you hear it say,
"Trapped. Trapped now. Too late. Too late."
And D.O.D. pulls himself over with his elbow just barely hanging out the window, trying to get closer to this owl. What are we supposed to do? Help us. How do we get out of here?
Does the owl choose to help the party?
It's part of the forest, but
yeah.
It was already speaking to D.O.D. It was already trying to give advice. I'll put it at somewhat likely, because it was already giving the advice. That's my justification.
Exceptional, yes.
Oh, shit, yeah.
The owl, its head craned far too far, stares at you for a moment. D.O.D., you see the earth reshaping around you, just beyond the owl. And then it flies past the carriage and out of your view.
D.O.D. leaps over to the other side of the carriage as best as he can with his hurt leg, hangs his head outside of the window on the side that Abigail's on, and he shouts up, "Abigail, follow that owl. Just follow it." And Abigail doesn't respond, but she heard D.O.D. And can Abigail still see the owl?
After he says that, you do see it. It flies right past your face, Abigail, almost too close. And then you see it beating its wings in the rain directly in front of the carriage.
And Abigail, trusting D.O.D., begins to follow the owl.
Abigail, you see the owl speeding up, beating its wings harder and harder. There are rocks emerging from the ground on both sides of the carriage. Luid is slightly ahead, just because Sky Chaser can move faster than the carriage can. You see the trees bending, but the owl starts to divert its path. You see the rocks are growing, and they start to form a tunnel leading to your left, but the owl breaks and turns right, and you see rocks are starting to block the path where the owl goes.
Abigail shouts to Luid, "Luid, follow the owl. I'll catch up." And Abigail whips the horses to make them go as fast as possible, as quickly as the carriage can absolutely go. She tries to get ahead of the rocks and to make that right turn.
Would you roll Defy Danger Intelligence?
Yeah. All right. Come on. Full success. So those rocks are starting to form that tunnel, that path around Abigail to guide her to the left, to force her out of the direction she wants to go and into the direction the forest wants her to go. But instead, the horses, especially her black war horse, who she's yet to name, charges forward at full speed. And the entire carriage just feels like it's tugged quickly as she manages just to get barely ahead of the rocks. And as she is, she makes a sharp right to follow that owl just as the rocks almost clip the rear wheel of the wagon.
Luid has no idea what is going on, but he trusts Abigail and he pushes Skychaser forward. And he says to Lydia, "Whatever you do, hold on tight." And Skychaser is going to charge forward, not as fast as the carriage went, but with the goal of making Skychaser leap over the rocks.
Okay, cool.
So that I can do a dexterity.
Yeah.
By extension of my horse. Full success.
Awesome.
Luid lifts himself in the saddle, preparing for Skychaser to fully gallop forward. Lydia tries to mimic his behavior, trying to get whatever posture he is in, and Skychaser is darting forward, the rein beating against its skin. And then Luid says, "All right, Lydia, hold on. I have no experience riding horses, so I really hope this thing jumps." And Lydia just goes, "Wait, what?" Sure enough, Skychaser leaps into the air as rocks come out of the ground, forming almost like spikes underneath it as Skychaser lands safely on the other side.
And as we're moving forward, the rocks are continuing to shoot up, trying to get us to turn around to go the way it wanted us to. They're appearing almost in walls as we're having to weave through the walls going forward.
Abigail, you see the owl. It's still flying, but there's no path anymore. You're starting to drive through the trees, and the forest is becoming denser and denser.
And Abigail is trying to find a path through this forest, one that will prevent this carriage from being completely destroyed by these trees and these rocks. Should I roll anything for this to see if she's able to manage that pathing?
Yeah, I would say your best bet is a discern realities.
Ah, dude, that's a fail. As the owl is effortlessly flying through the trees, not having to deal with any of the rocks or even the density of this forest, Abigail's doing her best to just find some sort of pathing through here. And the rocks, as she slows down so that she doesn't hit the trees, the rocks are starting to clip the rear wheels of the wagon and shove it in different directions. She's losing control of this carriage completely. And as she's losing control, she finds her horses at the front of the carriage going through two trees that the carriage cannot make it through. And the carriage collides with those trees, becoming completely stuck. Abigail shouts to Thebia to get out and start trying to push the carriage back. She doesn't know what else to do right now. And Thebia, fully confident that this will not work, gets off the bench and just attempts to do whatever she can to help Abigail. Abigail and Thebia both start trying to push the carriage back from the trees that it's stuck in.
Luid and Skychaser have been going full gallop. And as you collide with these trees, he keeps going, but he sees that you stop moving. Luid sees it, not slowing down Skychaser, and he says, "Lydia, Abigail said follow the owl, so follow the owl." And he lets go of the reins, and he jumps off the horse. I'll do a Defy Danger Dexterity.
Okay.
It's full success for him.
Oh, dude, nice.
But I think Lydia needs to do a Defy Danger Dexterity or Intelligence to hold on to this horse.
If I had to give my opinion, I think it's going to be an Intelligence because Luid hops off so easily, it's not going to get in Lydia's way. I think she needs to have the Intelligence to be able to take control of the horse in this moment.
Oh, it is a semi-success.
Okay.
In the blink of an eye, Luid jumps from Skychaser and rolls into the mud. Lydia, panicking, still confused, fumbles for the reins of Skychaser, pulling herself forward in the saddle. She manages to get control of the horse and keep it moving.
But just as you gain control of those reins, a rock wall shoots up right next to you, blocking your view of the owl, sending you in a different direction than you were planning on going. And Luid, as you run straight for Abigail and the carriage, you feel rocks starting to surround you as well. Not blocking you from the carriage, but definitely blocking you from getting back to Lydia.
What I would like to do is I want to have Luid full on run towards the carriage And as Abigail and Thebia are pushing it, I just want him to fling his body into it.
Okay. All right.
For him, I think it's definitely strength. And I think it's strength for them, too.
Right, right.
All
right. Let's see if we can get this.
I got a 9.
I got a 6.
So I got a semi-success.
And I got a full failure.
So I get the carriage unstuck, but several bad things happen. Luid gets to his feet after tumbling off the horse, and he sees Abigail and Thebia struggling, the horses confused and neighing, the rain turning the ground to just mud. And he runs his hands through his long, wet hair, takes a deep breath, and then, like a wild animal, charges. He runs as fast as he can through this mud, and then leaps into the air and drives his shoulder into the carriage.
And that carriage unjams instantly, sending Abigail down to the ground on her hands. And Thebia stumbles forward but catches herself with one of her feet. And you can hear in the back of the carriage a thump as presumably Diodi hits the front of the carriage. And you hear a little,
ow.
Just as you get this carriage unstuck. The forest lacks movement in this moment, and that seems like a good sign until all of these rocks shift and move, surrounding everybody. The trees bend in. The canopy becomes a locked ceiling of leaves above everyone. You are encircled by a solid wall of boulders and wood, and there is no way out except one singular path directly in front of you, made of stone, branches, and leaves, that is guiding you where the forest is telling you to go. And you were warned, listeners, to not go deeper into this forest. But we want to thank you anyway for sticking with us and listening to the latest episode of Into the Wilderheath. While we shake off the spooks, give me only a moment to make a brief request. Currently, Roll and Tell is nominated for the Best New Podcast for the Audioverse Awards. This is such an amazing opportunity for us. So please, please, please consider visiting the link in the description of this episode to go vote for our show, so maybe we can have a nice plaque to hang up on our walls and show the occasional house guest that we did something cool. We appreciate you big time. Not only do we appreciate all of you who go choose to vote, but we also want to let our Patreon supporters know how much we appreciate them. I mean, it is so amazing that our Patreon supporters are helping us take the steps towards making this what we do for a living. At the very least, they're helping us pay for sound libraries, music libraries, and podcast hosting. For starting at just $2 a month, they're getting access to bonus episodes that are not on our regular feed, and other neat perks such as really cool random tables that Jeffrey's putting together. Dude, they look kick-ass. If you're curious about signing up for our Patreon, then the link is in the description of this episode for that as well. Roll and Tell is just us two, Jeffrey and Christian, and we put a lot of hard work into this show. Jeffrey keeps those gears turning with the Patreon, Discord, and Twitter. He's doing so much work behind the scenes, giving great directorial advice when it comes to the episodes. And for me, Christian, all I do is edit the episodes and hope Jeffrey will start a jazz band with me one day. And if you're curious to see if we ever make that trumpet saxophone dream come true, then follow us on Twitter and Instagram at RollAndTellPod. Moving forward into this spooky territory, I mean, we are in a death forest. Who knows what's going to happen? Our group is somewhere that they should not be. I have a feeling that whatever is at the center of this forest is truly horrifying. But I have no clue. I only know as much as you do, and it's going to be that way until next time, as we roll and tell.
Describe this carriage.
going, because I know it'll be good audio and our audience wants to hear it very badly. Would you describe a carriage driving over Diodi's leg?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'm just
for your consideration for all podcast awards.
Yeah, before I go into it, I'm just like, the mental image that's showing up is just like the carriage like hits a bump basically, and Abigail's like, what was that? Like, just like keeps going.
Well, you gotta have Diodi make a noise.
Well, yeah.